streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Illinois football acts quickly, gets a new offensive coordinator just hours after it officially acknowledges that Tony Peterson is out. Barry Lunny Jr., UTSA offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach, is now in. He served five seasons under Brett Bielema at Arkansas as his tight ends coach. Had some pretty good tight ends in that room, including Hunter Henry, who has gone on to great things in the NFL as well. But Brett Bielema going, unlike with Tony Peterson, going with someone he knows very well on his staff previously. So there's experience here. There's obviously a camaraderie here. A little bit younger. And Joey Wagner, who's joining me here on the Illini Inquirer podcast. My biggest takeaway is Brett Bielema was getting kind of a guy on the rise, kind of like Ryan Walters. It's very different than Tony Peterson in that way, and that's somebody he's had on his staff prior, who's kind of making his way up in the business. You know, Tony Peterson hadn't coached in the Power Five in 15 years prior to coming to Illinois as an offensive assistant. So I think this is a quick, decisive move by Brett Bielema. And on paper, I think most people nationally look at this as a pretty good move, given what Lunny did at UTSA.
Yeah, I wonder if, I mean, that was kind of the whole thing when they hired the first two coordinators in Walters and Peterson. It's like, we want to build this from scratch. We don't, I mean, Brett wanted so much, you know, I guess just difference in terms of like not working with a lot of, with the coordinators before. Now, the position coaches he obviously knew well, but the coordinators, like, I remember talking a lot about that a year ago, Jeremy. It's like, okay, he's never worked with these guys. So did something change? Like, I mean, was it a point to make it, I want to have somebody I've worked with? Or more likely, in my opinion, was, I want Barry Lunny, right? Like, that's kind of what it screams to me. And it so happens that they work together and you know, Barry, and they go all the way back. But yeah, you're right. There's two guys who, you know, you're going to look down the line and say, hey, they could be a candidate. And you would assume, just because they're young, they're kind of rising up, and Ryan Walters and Barry Lunny. And it is different than getting Tony Peterson, who had been a while at Minnesota. So we'll see. I mean, right, as we said the other night, Tom Fornelli, like the hire, don't know if it'll work out.
Yeah, I like this hire more on paper than I like Tony Peterson. Like, I would have liked Lunny last year on paper more than Peterson, just due to the things we just talked about. One, he's a guy on the rise, did good things. It was only 1 year at UTSA, so maybe there were some question marks there. But after 2 years at UTSA, given the success they've had, and then, you know, just his background with Bielema. I know Bielema's taken a lot of pride in that he's brought in some new voices. He wanted people who didn't work with him previously. That worked on defense, so you can't say that didn't work with him. You know, Boo's been with him. Bart Miller's been with him. Aaron Henry, Terrence Jamison obviously have. But I think after seeing how it failed the first year with Tony Peterson, Bielema probably had a comfort in going back to what he knows, and then having a guy who's just sitting there, right, at a Group of Five school, making $250,000, he can triple his salary, bring him in. And for Barry Lunny, this is a huge, huge step up and a huge break for him. And I want to get into some of his background, but I think on paper, this, like, Tony Peterson, I probably would have said like a C- last year on paper, even though I like some of his background, his Big Ten success. This one, I'd be sitting there with very high marks, whether it's B+, A-, whatever it is, just because this is a pretty good hire at a lot of Power Five schools, and for Illinois to get him, I think, is a really good thing.
Yeah, and again, if you're a program like Illinois, you're developing your guys on the field, right? You're developing your players, but you want to be that coach development program, because right now you're not walking into Barry Lunny and meeting with Barry Lunny and say, hey, check this out, all these wins we've got here, and wouldn't you like to be? And so you've got to say, hey, Brett's history does lend to saying, I've helped get coaches in bigger and better seats down the line. Barry's seen it. I mean, this isn't a surprise to him, right? But I think that's what you have to be, at least in the infant stages of this, because your draw has to be in the same way that Brett said his draw on the recruiting trail. Remember, he told his coaches, we've got to win them with us. That's kind of what Brett's got to do now with filling out his coaching staff, is he's got to win them with him and who he is, and then trust the guy, right? I mean, you got to trust Barry Lunney to elevate the offense here. But there are some parallels here just in this early stages of get guys that you believe in who are going to shoot up the ladder a little bit. And we expect Barry to. I mean, my goodness, he has, right? Like, I mean, you know, he's a tight ends coach a few years ago. Now he's a Power 5 offensive coordinator. So that's – I think that's important to get some of those guys that you trust and help elevate them up. And we've seen it on the defensive side. And I do think it's important, Jeremy, when we look at the defensive staff. No, Brett didn't work with Ryan Walters, and I do not believe Kevin Kane, right?
Right.
But that's a very – that room was a lot of voices. And three of those voices, Terrence Jameson, Aaron Henry, and Andy Boo, he had worked with before. And I think that matters too. And offensively, he had worked with Bart Miller, but that was it. And now you start to see another voice. And maybe that won't matter, but I do think it's interesting that there were more – Bielema from the Bielema tree, I guess, defensively than offensively. And now you're starting to get a little bit more of that in here with Barry Lunney. And there are a lot of things on paper that they see pretty eye to eye with here and what we've seen out of Barry Lunney's teams.
Just to give you some background on Barry Lunney, he was a star prep quarterback out of Fort Smith, Arkansas in high school, played at Arkansas, was a four-year starting quarterback there. And you look at some of his numbers, like 41 touchdowns to 38 interceptions, doesn't look all that great, but Arkansas had some really good years there. Then he gets outside of that, and then he comes a GA at Arkansas, 98-99, moves on to Tulsa, where he's an assistant for 3 years, moves on to San Jose State, where he's an assistant for 2 seasons, and then he decides, Joey, to get into the high school game, comes back to Arkansas, coaches at Bentonville, where he's an offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach at one of the most prestigious programs in Arkansas, leads them to 4 state championship appearances, 2 state titles. He wasn't the head coach there, but then given his college history, given his success at the high school, one of Brett Bielema's hires on his first staff at Arkansas is to hire Barry Lunney as a tight ends coach. Now, he's quarterback background, you know, play caller background, but he just wanted to get him on staff. And then I want to mention this, like, obviously he was a huge part in developing 3 guys who were drafted in the NFL in his position room, which is Hunter Henry, A.J. Derby, Jeremy Sprinkle, but also he was a stud recruiter for them. Now, he was recruiting in his home state to the Razorbacks, where a lot of these kids in his home state want to be Razorbacks growing up, right? Like, they grow up around that. But still, he gave them a jolt in recruiting. And I think that's something I don't want to overlook here, is Tony Peterson wasn't giving Illinois much of a jolt in recruiting. I do think Barry Lunney, even though he might only be 8 years younger than Tony Peterson, he's plugged into this scene, and I think he can be a pretty good recruiter. And UTSA was only there 2 years, but he certainly got a lot out of that talent. And the other thing is, Lunney was kept on at Chad Morris' staff for 2 seasons, became the interim head coach there because he was a former Arkansas alum. They felt comfortable putting him in that role for, I think it was a game or two. And then, you know, UTSA under Jeff Traylor, it speaks for itself. Illinois fans got to see up close what that looked like this year. And that was an exciting offense. Sincere McCormick, last 2 years, almost 3,000 yards rushing. He wants to run the ball, but also it's pretty creative in how he throws the ball. The run-pass options really hurt Illinois. And Zachary Franklin looks like an NFL-type wide receiver. And Frank Harris is a dual-threat quarterback. We'll get into all of that, Joey, but that's an impressive background. Like, it's been a gradual rise for him to where he is, kind of took the circuitous route to the high school level back to college. But there's a lot to like in that development.
Yeah, there's a couple things I want to build off there. First, the high school experience. You know who's going to like that? Every single high school coach he talks to. That's just going to be a big deal. I think the coaching circle is close-knit anyway, and then you've got a guy who 10 years ago did it, and now he's a Power 5 offensive coordinator. I just think that's going to resonate. Is it going to win over every recruit he sits in the living room of? No. But I think because he was sitting in the seat where coaches came in to talk to him 10 years ago, he knows the pitch, right? He knows what resonates, what doesn't. I'm not saying Tony Peterson didn't, but 10 years isn't that long. I mean, it is, but I just think knowing what it all looks like from that seat and understanding that, being able to say, hey, I get it. I was you. I know exactly what concerns you have. I just think that really matters. I think a lot of high school coaches are going to be like, hey, this guy's, he's kind of one of us, right? I mean, he was
one of us.
That's what I thought. I didn't want to punch my desk here. It's kind of glass. But I think that helps. In my mind, it helps. I don't really know how it wouldn't. And then I do want to say, when Brett Bielema hired Ryan Walters and Tony Peterson, his, I don't want to say goal, but he said, hey, we're not going to have these guys. Remember, they divvied up the state and their portions were smaller intentionally, right? Brett wanted them game planning, building all of that during the season and not having to really branch out all that far on the recruiting scene. But as you look, as this class got closer and closer to the end and more players were built, Ryan Walters had a lot of fingerprints on that. And I do wonder if Brett said, hey, this guy's pretty good, man. We got to get him out there. And could we see something similar, right, with Barry Lunny and say, hey, maybe that's another, I guess, alteration to Brett's initial plan. It's, man, we need to get these coordinators out there more. I mean, don't let it get in the way of what they need to do on Saturdays. But, you got to have those guys you can push out there. And, it does carry some weight when, hey, Illinois' DC's in to see me. Their OC's in to see me. That carries a little bit. And I'm not saying it, people turn their nose up when an assistant coach walks in. That's foolish. But I think that shows a little bit more, hey, we're all in on you. Look, we brought these guys. And I'm probably getting a little off track here, but I think you've seen that adjust too. And I think Barry can step into that. What we've seen him do at Arkansas, at UTSA, and kind of fill into that mold a little bit.
He will be the 10th offensive coordinator now, if you're including the co-titles in there, 10th offensive coordinator at Illinois in the last 13 years. Okay. So he is taking on a role that has been tough. It's been tough to crack for whatever reason. And he's taking on a position and quarterbacks coach and a recruiter of quarterbacks that Illinois hasn't gotten right in a really long time. It has been since, right, Mike Locksley. Mike Locksley last was here in 2008, and he got Juice Williams, really started the recruitment of Nathan Shielhouse, right? So it's been a long time since Illinois has had a guy who's been a star in this position, a guy who's gotten this thing right. Paul Petrino had one good year, maybe a year and a half that he did pretty well. Bill Cubitt had a good year when he first got here with Nathan Shielhouse, but the defense was awful that year. There hasn't been consistent success at this offensive coordinator / quarterbacks coach role. And I would expect he gets a similar contract to Tony Peterson, probably 3 years. Illinois hasn't announced how much, but Tony Peterson is making $750,000. I would imagine it's around there somewhere. But he takes on a huge task, Joey, of, we'll talk about what the offense looks like, but just the quarterback room. And it'll be very interesting, and this is obviously going to be a big question. What do you want out of your quarterbacks? Is it Frank Harris, who ran for 1,000 yards the last 2 years combined, right? And also threw for 4,500 yards and 38 touchdowns. Are you going to see more of that dual threat? Or is it going to be a guy like Tommy DeVito, who can run a little bit? Because I think the quarterback run is going to be more involved here, but also can throw it around a lot. He coached at Arkansas. He's going to be more like Arkansas or UTSA. Like, I think there's things you can do at UTSA you can't quite do in the Big Ten. So that'll be interesting. But given the history of these two, I would expect Brett Bielema and Barry Lunny are on the same page here and what they want. But Brett Bielema's quarterbacks have tended to be pro-style under center. Barry Lunny at UTSA ran a lot of shotgun, a lot of zone read, a lot of more run-pass option kind of stuff.
Yeah, and let's be clear that the 10 offensive coordinators in 13 years is an exact tie to the quarterback issue, right? You're not cycling through them if you've got a quarterback who's leading you 3 years, 4 years. And, I mean, those things are tied for a reason, right? It's the most important position on the field for a reason. So I think that, look, man, we've known this, right? When we did, hey, what's the biggest need in the class of 2023? When we look forward, the answer is always and will always be quarterback until you've satisfied that need. It's every program ever. Now you're basically saying, okay, Barry, please satisfy the quarterback position for us. So it's not a one-on year, then one off. You know what I mean? We have a couple years of a starter here. That's the biggest job Barry's got in front of him, I think, is to find that. And obviously you've got to juice up this offense because it wasn't good at all last year. But am I the only one who's kind of crazy when you said, like, Tommy DeVito, who maybe saw, like, 2019 Brandon Peters in this offense?
Yeah, no, I mean, I sit there and look at Tommy DeVito, and I watched his film at Syracuse, and I think of Dino Babers with Jimmy Garoppolo and just throwing it all everywhere, right? These bubble screen stuff, and they did that stuff. But Tommy's legs is what really, like, I was like, oh, this guy can move. Like, this guy's dangerous in the open field. Now, he's got an injury history, so you don't want that to happen. And his last 2 years weren't as good as his 2019 year, but I do think he can fit. Like, so, you know, once you fire the OC, it's like, oh, are they still going to have Tommy DeVito show up in a week, right? Like, that's one of the first things that pops in my mind. I think he's probably even more sold on playing for Barry Lunney and seeing what Frank Harris did there with him. So that'll be interesting to watch. I don't know exactly what that will look like or what they want, which is why whenever we're able to talk to Barry and to Brett, that'll certainly be a big topic. Otherwise, Joey, like, certainly there will be things that change in the passing game, certain things that can change in the running game, but I think the core tenets of what Brett Bielema wants to be, physical, run to establish things, play action pass, or whether it's RPO pass or whatever it is, I still think the core tenets of what he believes tough, smart, dependable, they're going to do, but there's just going to be different wrinkles. Like, you're not just going to be trying to do what Iowa and Wisconsin want to do. But I still think tight ends are going to be a big part of this offense. Barry's got a good history of those with Arkansas. He recruited Luke Ford. He visited Carterville, Illinois 3 or 4 times from what I'm told. And I was told he's a really dynamic recruiter when he did that. So I think a lot of the things that they want to do are going to be similar, just a different kind of aggression, I think. And Brett Bielema told you the quote that, you know, reacting to defenses isn't what I want to do. I want defenses to react to us. And I thought that was pretty telling.
It was a really telling quote. Yeah, look, I don't think Barry Lunney is in Champaign and will get here. And him and Brett will look at each other and say, wait, what? This is what you have in mind philosophically? No, man, they're lined up. They know what they want to do. And I
Let's say it. Brett probably doesn't do this unless Barry Lunney's all in before he even fires Tony Peterson, right? Like, that's probably not happening.
Yeah, I don't think Brett made this move, risked it getting leaked out like it did, only to say, I'm pretty sure I got this guy, mm-hmm. right? He knew there's a reason they waited until 7 o'clock on Friday to finally say we've gotten rid of Tony Peterson.
It's a very short news cycle before announcing the next time.
Yeah, hey, everybody, I know you're almost asleep, but look, we're going to do this. And by the time you wake up, at least in my case, we're gonna have a new offensive coordinator. And that's, again, that timing itself really backs up everything we thought and we knew and we had heard that, yeah, Brett has a guy. I mean, this was not going to be – it could be him, it could be him, it could be him. It was always going to be Barry Lunney, I think. I mean, and obviously what we've seen lines up with that. And because of that, I think that they believe in one another. They know what they're going to do. But yeah, you're going to see wrinkles, and I'm sure when Brett Bielema showed film, he said, "See this guy with number one? Yeah, we would enjoy getting him the ball. Can you do that? Can you find a way to get number one?"
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
I was going to ask you, who is happiest of the Illinois players of this move?
So I like top threes. So I think Isaiah, right? Because obviously he knows the dude with the loudest voice in that building wants him to have the ball, if not 100% of the time, like 99. Luke Ford is probably a pretty happy guy. We said that a year ago, and that frankly didn't come to fruition.
Can I add a wrinkle to that? I wonder if there's a last minute pitch to Daniel Barker with this, because as much as Isaiah Williams, you thought, get him the ball more, even more emphatic about Daniel Barker. Until the end of the season, when Tony did get creative and find ways to get Daniel Barker the ball, like the handoff was a beautiful play. Great call by Tony. But, like, you wanted that earlier. Like, he's got to get the ball more than he did early in the season. And I think Daniel's got NFL talent. I think the NFL could use a guy like that who's very versatile in the passing game. He's got to improve as a run blocker and be more consistent. But you wonder if you could sell him on one more year, because that'd be a dynamic player for him.
I would get a statement from Mr. Hunter Henry, and I would say, look at what this guy said that I helped him with. Does that interest you, right? Because – yeah, Daniel Barker's got a lot of NFL talent, and blocking is an issue, right? I mean, it's not like you can't play him, but like if there's a weakness to his game, it's that. And I mean, it's not breaking news. So if you can sell him and Barry Lunny on each other, and I don't think you're going to need a lot of sales pitch for Barry Lunny on Daniel Barker. He's got eyes. He's coached a tight end. He knows what good ones look like, and Daniel Barker is one of them. That would be interesting. And I want to add Chase Brown to the list.
Yes, I was waiting. That might be my number one, because as good as Chase Brown is, think of how many loaded boxes he saw. Like, think about how much attention he got, and he still had 1,000 yards. Like, he's got to look at Sincere McCormick's year, and Sincere McCormick's a good back. Chase Brown is more talented than him. Now, he's going up against Big Ten teams, but Sincere McCormick ran for 140, right, against Illinois. I had like 30-something carries to get there. But I think Chase Brown, is as much as anybody, could really benefit, because if he has a 1,200-yard year, which I don't think is outside the realm of possibility for him, like, yeah, that guy could get drafted.
He would have had that this year if he played in the first three games. Right. He was hurt. He was hurt in limited carries, didn't play in one altogether, limited carries the Virginia game, and he still put up 1,000 yards. You can't tell me Chase Brown wouldn't have found 200 yards in those three games, right? So, yeah, if you're looking at this, you're thinking, all right, you know, obviously they still want to run the football. You're not walking into, like, Texas Tech here. Old Texas, Air Raid Texas Tech, where you're going to throw it around. Running the ball is still fundamental. Go ahead.
Yeah, and just to say that, like, UTSA ran the ball 54% of the time. That's a balanced offense, right? Illinois ran it 57% of the time, which is a pretty balanced offense for a college game. But, like, it's not like – all of a sudden, because you're going to have some spread elements here, like maybe more 10 and 11 personnel than you had this year, you're still going to use the tight end a lot. You're still going to run the football. Like, I still think, like, there's going to be more wrinkles here. There's going to look different, but it's not going to look completely foreign than what we've seen. Like, I don't think this is going from Rod Smith to what we just saw. I don't think it's that big of a change.
Right, I agree with that. And so, again, the running game is going to be a factor. And, hey, there's a chance the boxes might not be loaded, like you said. And go, Chase, go. Enjoy the space you're going to see. And, hey, Josh McCray, you're going to have to, you know, maybe break fewer tackles, because there's going to be, in concept, less people in the box. Now, that concept has to come through by developing a quarterback and throwing the ball and being a threat in the air, which I think, frankly, could have existed last year. It just didn't happen. The quarterbacks just didn't get it done. And yeah, the play calling at times was just not – I guess it left some to be desired, and we don't know. Maybe it'll do that again. But I think in theory, you can see what UTSA did and see some space for these backs to operate out there. Now, you need offensive line help. There's so many caveats here, right? You need this. You need a quarterback. You need a line. You need to do all of this stuff. But I mean, the tape Barry Lunny has out there, tape doesn't lie, man.
Yeah.
Tape does not lie. And the tape Barry Lunny has out there is good.
Yeah, and I think one thing I'll look at, I mean, quarterback development is huge. You know, getting those quarterbacks – to learn the game, to be confident, to play their best football. And I don't think last year either Brandon Peters – I mean, the last four games was probably his best football for Brandon Peters in college. Now, there's certain max maybe for some of those guys, but I didn't think he played his best football last year. I didn't think Archer Sikowski, and whether that's the injury or not, I don't think he played his best football. I don't think the offensive line mostly played their best football. I think Doug Kramer did. Vidarian, I thought, was pretty similar to the year prior, but as a group, I didn't think they were – maybe even as strong as the year prior. Now, Kendrick Green has something to do with that. But, like, I don't know how many guys, like, you felt like played their best football last year. Frank Harris, from his junior year, his first year with Lunny, to his senior year, took a huge leap, man. Like, he went from 129 efficiency rating to 152. His completion rate rose 2%. His yards per attempt, 1.5. His interceptions stayed the same, while his touchdowns more than doubled. Like, that's a good sign for a quarterback's coach, which is a big part of this offense coordinator job. So that's encouraging to me as well. And obviously, Sincere McCormick, they got the most out of him in this offense the last 2 years. And Zachary Franklin turned himself into probably an NFL prospect.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good recruiting pitch for wide receivers, right? Is we're going to take this UTSA kid, Zachary Franklin, and he's going to be in the league. And he's probably going to be pretty good in the league. And I think, Jeremy, we've noticed...
Unless Lonnie can just be like, hey, come to Illinois for a year, right? I know everyone's thinking it. I know everyone's thinking it. So I'm just going to throw that out there, but I think that kid should just go to the NFL based on what we saw.
Oh, boy. Jeremy. Oh, no.
It's just pure speculation, right? I don't think it's going to happen. I think the kid's going to leave.
Yeah, I thought the same. I didn't want to be the one to say it. I'm glad we just pushed the envelope.
Did I put enough caveats in there? I put enough caveats to say, like, probably not going to happen, guys. Like, so just everyone knows. Like, I'm not hearing that from anything.
Oh, I know.
Every Illinois fan's asking me, is Zachary Franklin coming too? Probably not, but hey, you got a guy who's connected to him at least.
Yeah, I mean, come on. A lot of people thought it, right? Yeah. When the name came out, you're like, all right, who absolutely carved up this defense in week two? Who was that? Interesting. I'd like to hear the first conversation between Ryan Walters and Perry Lonnie, because he kind of torched Ryan's defense in that game.
Dang right.
And to be fair, that stretch really, I think, expedited some changes or different approaches defensively that paid off in the long run. I don't remember. But so I do want to say, Jeremy, when we let's go back a little bit to like spring ball and early camp. Do you remember there was a lot of questions as we were learning Bielema before we saw the offense? There was a lot of questions like, hey, you guys are going to run the ball. It's going to look at all this running you're going to do. Tons of running, huh? And there were a lot of times, every time, Brett kind of pushed back on that a little bit. And I think it's because he wanted to make sure the message wasn't we're only going to run the football, because you need people who can throw it and you need people who can catch it and you need to attract them in recruiting, right? So that's just armchair guessing. Is he didn't want to sound like this was going to be some wing T class 1A football offense and receivers stay or go, it doesn't matter. And so now I think you bring in Barry Lunny and you can say Zachary Franklin, Frank Harris, look at this. And I think that helps a little bit more in that pitch where, yeah, Illinois ran the ball well, but do you have guys who really showed growth as quarterbacks and wide receivers last year? Maybe some small steps wide receiver-wise. Isaiah Williams, obviously a large one. But now you have this, and it's just another influx of, look, we're not just going to run this thing exclusively, right? We are going to pass. And you know, maybe you could have had that pitch beforehand, but I think Barry backs it up a little further.
Yeah, I think that's the misnomer of Brett Bielema is even I had to sit there and go, well, you think of Melvin Gordon, James White, Monte Ball, John Clay, and they had great rushing attacks, right, at Wisconsin. But as you look back, it's not like they were, like you said, Texas Tech under Mike Leach throwing the ball everywhere, but they were one of the most efficient passing attacks in the country. Like, yards per attempt, pass efficiency rating. When Bielema was at Wisconsin, especially his last 4 or 5 years, they were atop the Big Ten with some of the best programs. Like, we think about, you know, Purdue throwing the ball or Ohio State or Michigan State, whatever it is. And remember, Michigan State at the time, some good quarterbacks were going through there, like Kirk Cousins. Like, they were up there with guys that – now I'm not just talking about the Russell Wilson year. I'm talking about, you know, the years where they had the typical Wisconsin guy just changed the name, looks the same in the pocket. They were very, very efficient. So, I do think he wanted to fight back against that because you got to throw the ball at some point. Like, even if you have a good rushing attack, you got to throw the ball at some point. And Tony Peterson had a solid rushing game. It wasn't great. It was a solid rushing game that at times was great, including Penn State. But their passing attack was just atrocious. That's what has to be fixed here. The passing attack has to be fixed in how they approach it, and that's what he's going to bring into this program. And it'll be interesting to watch. It's going to be interesting, Joey, to be able to talk with Barry and talk to Brett, especially Brett, about why he made this move. Because we talked about this in the previous podcast about his firing, but he could have just stayed for one more year and been like, all right, let's get some of our guys in. Brett had more urgency than that. Like, he saw something that, like, I need to fix this eventually, so I'm going to fix it now. And I got a guy that I think I can bring in. He just went and did it right away. That's a lot of urgency, and it's something that doesn't happen a lot here at Illinois unless you feel like you're going to be fired. And Brett Bielema is not getting fired next year, even if they struggle offensively and struggle as a team, right? Like, he saw a problem and said, I need to fix this now.
Yeah. You know, I think, Jeremy, when a lot of people, maybe who don't spend a lot of time like we do talking with Brett, observing what Brett does, they might just think, oh, old school guy, right? Run the ball, fourth down, doesn't matter, you're going to punt. Like, there's just so many things where it's like, this is just, he comes from this tree of Hayden Fry, of Bill Snyder, of Barry Alvarez, of Bill Belichick, and this is just what you do, and what is adaptation, right? And that's not the way that Brett operates, and frankly, that's not the way that any of those coaches operate.
Belichick especially, yeah. Right? Like, that guy adapts more than anybody. He adapts week to week.
But I think there was this notion that he's just like, oh, this old school football coach, and this is what you did when you played, and now this is what – that's not what I've observed out of Brett Bielema. I've observed a willingness to say, this isn't it. This isn't working, right? And he, we saw it last season when he said, you know, yeah, I went in and I said, this is who needs to get touches. That's a willingness to say, this isn't working. I want to get my hands on this. And then to make this decision to Barry Lunney and to make a big change. This is a big change. It's not getting the national headlines because it's Illinois football. Like, if Alabama did this, oh, good God. I mean, you couldn't even turn on the radio anymore, right? Does anyone turn on the radio? I don't. Anyway, but, you know, like, this is a really significant move. And you've seen it, again, as I talked earlier, with branching your coordinators up. Brett changes quickly. He doesn't wait to say, like, yep, this has worked in my history, and by George, this is going to work here. I'm telling you. No,
it's,
man.
It's very different from the old guy. I mean, there's such a stark contrast. I know Lovey fired Garrick McGee after 2 years. I think that had as much to do with the staff as a whole, like, being able to work together. I think he would have had a lot of guys leave if Garrick didn't leave. They had some issues there. But defensively, he just stubborn, you know, didn't change. And we all saw it. And I'm not the smartest football guy, but you're just saying this defense has to change unless you're getting 4- and 5-star recruits to run your NFL defense. Like, you need to change the way you do things. And he didn't. And for 1 year, it worked because they got a bunch of turnovers. And then the next year, it failed again because it was unsustainable here. So to see a coach do that, I think for us and for any Illini observer, it's a breath of fresh air to say, like, all right, this isn't working. I need to change it.
This concept that Brett, you know, the smash mouth, run efficient but kind of dial back passing attack, I think that's probably a fair way to approach what they did at Wisconsin, right? You were successful, but you weren't throwing the ball 30 times at Wisconsin. That worked there. And it works for Iowa, and it works for Wisconsin. 2022 Illinois, 2021 Illinois, no. It's just not going to work with what you've got in-house right now. And for him to go through and see that and to get out of, frankly, probably his offensive philosophical comfort zone, that's telling.
Yeah, I don't know how much he's going to deviate from it because him and Barry have worked together, right?
But like,
he did this at Arkansas. He did this at Arkansas. You know, he had Jim Chaney for 2 years, and Jim's kind of an older school guy, more of a pro style. You know, he will throw the ball down the field. But then he brought in Dan Enos. And Dan Enos was more of a modern. He wanted to run the football, but spread it out a little bit more, got his quarterbacks moving a little bit more. And they had some success, right? They made 3 bowl games at Arkansas, a couple with that offensive staff, which Barry Lunney, of course, was on. So he's done this before. He did this at Arkansas with his offense, and now he's changing again. Again, to bring up Fornelli's quote, love it on paper, don't know if it'll work. We'll see if it works. But Brett was obviously sold that it wasn't going to work under Tony Peterson. So he decides to make the change and get a guy on paper that looks pretty good.
Yeah, and I think if I'm Barry, one of my questions was, I'm not leaving a good thing for 1 year. Like, I want to know that you're bought into me here, getting some time to do this. And I think that's a reasonable – I don't know that that's what he said, but I would have said it. I think you would have said it, right? You got to. And he must have believed that there's a lot of belief in one another, because Barry Lunney was going to have offensive coordinator chances coming up down the line in the Power 5. I mean, he wasn't going to stay at UTSA forever, I would suspect.
Well, I think that program could be a great Group of Five program. Like, they're still a young program, and they still don't have the financial firepower that Illinois does. Like, Illinois can triple – they just tripled Lonnie's salary, right? Plus, your Power Five offense coordinator – next step is a head coach in the FBS, right? Like a Group of Five head coaching job. And that's probably not the case at UTSA to go from maybe now, maybe you replace Traylor's the head coach at UTSA, but Traylor's not going anywhere with the deal he just got. So, you know, Traylor's done a great thing there, and Lonnie was a big part of it.
He was, and what's what made him an attractive candidate, right? I mean, I'm with you. I like it on paper. I'd really like, I'm excited to talk to Barry Lonnie. I'd like to know a lot. I like know a lot from Brett Bielema, and Johnny Newton tweeted out. Let me backtrack a little bit. He quote tweeted the announcement: "Good move!" Exclamation point! Any number of exclamation points, and the praying emoji. I'm not saying, you know, maybe he just believes in what his head coach is doing, and Brett Bielema can instill that belief. But if I played defense, and I went out there, and I put up some of the numbers we put up, and at the end of the day I walked into a locker room and we're all upset because we lost and maybe a bowl game is fading, and you know it probably wasn't on you, would you not be excited to look across the ball in the hall and see a guy who just got what UTSA did? I don't know.
Especially when you got tore up by that offense. right? And I think from the outside we had questions about Tony Peterson, okay? And we watch them once a week. People inside the program see it every day, and they see things we don't. And Brett Bielema, you know, nobody expected Tony Peterson to have a top 60 offense this year, given what he had, right? You have to be fair in that he didn't have much to work with. But again, I don't think he got the most of what he had. While Ryan Walters, he did, especially the last 9 games there of elite defensive football for Big Ten play. There's a lack of confidence from Brett Bielema, and I'm sure inside that locker room, there's a lack of confidence in their offensive play caller because they're thinking the same things we are during a game. You know, why isn't this working? Like, why are we 3rd and 13 again? Like, why don't we throw the ball downfield a little bit more? Like, why isn't Isaiah Williams getting the ball? Like, why isn't Daniel Bar- – like, they are thinking the same kind of thing. So, while Tony Peterson, like, I enjoyed talking to him. I think – most people I talked to thought he was a good dude. At some point, it and Tony said this to me late November, right? He's like, it's a results business. I know it. And I think everyone knows it just it wasn't good enough and there wasn't confidence that he could do it. So that's why he's gone.
Yeah, and that's well stated, man. And I do – on the one hand, you do think, like, man, if you're a player, do you want to deal – like we talked about it in our previous podcast – Chase Brown at Illinois, 3 offensive coordinators. It's a lot, right? That's a lot. There's no other way to cut it up and carve it. That's a lot of changing.
Let's say it. Barry's got a lot of work to do. Like he's got his work cut out for him. He's got a quarterback room that has one guy who had a good season 2 years ago, right? Outside of that, are any of those guys Barry wants? I don't know. I can't answer that question for Illini fans right now of how does Donovan Leary fit into that? Is Samari Collier all of a sudden got new life from the 5th string? I don't know message board posters who want to see more Samari Collier. I do think it's a good thing for Chase Brown, Isaiah Williams, some of those players we're talking about.
Josh McCray.
Yeah, but his offensive line? Like Barry doesn't have much to work with right now. He needs to help Illinois get some offensive linemen here along with Bart Miller and Brett Bielema. And he doesn't playmaker wise. I mean, it's Isaiah, the running backs, Luke Ford. There's not a ton to work with, but you're hoping he can get the most out of them, unlike Tony Peterson.
Yeah, and look, we said that, right, with Tony, and it's part of the reason I think I thought that I was so taken back by the actual decision to make the move is there's just not a lot there, man. There's not a lot, especially at the skill positions, probably more than anything. Because last year, I think we liked the line a pretty decent amount, though it didn't really maximize itself. But, man.
That's what Barry Lonnie has to do. He has to show us that, hey, there's this guy here that I think could be pretty good that you guys don't think is going to be good, a la Kirby Joseph, right? Maybe Devin Witherspoon could be better than we even thought last year. Keith Randolph can look like a future NFL player. Like, we knew Keith had talent, right? But, like, we got to see that. I don't know if that is Pat Bryant this year or Brian Hightower or Tip Ryman all of a sudden, you know, becomes like a legit. Like, he was pretty good last year, better than people thought, but, like, you know, guy who can take a huge step and mostly
Reggie Love.
Yeah, Reggie Love's a good example of that, or Tommy DeVito, of course. Can you get the most out of him?
Yeah, that's, if you think about, like, obviously financially Barry's going to be pretty well compensated for this move in terms of where it stands up in the college football hierarchy of whatever. Being at a Power Five is a big deal, but man, this is not a risk averse move, or like without risk. And there's risk here, man. Like, for all the good buzz and you know, hey, look what UTSA was, it would take a lot of work to get Illinois to that point. And, you know, is the bar lower, right? If you get Illinois passable offensively, do you get some good graces and good buzz, much like Ryan Walters did a year ago? I mean, Illinois' defense was solid a year ago, but it wasn't like the top 15 nationally. But look what Ryan got buzz-wise, because I think it comes with the, man, look what's around him. There's just not a lot there. And I think that's, it tells a little bit that Barry believes a lot in Brett and in himself to do this, but it's not without it possible that this takes a little bit here.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing is Brett didn't want to risk another down season. He didn't want to risk. He's never gone back-to-back seasons without a bowl. Right.
Let's call it what it is. It's those 15 practices.
Yeah. And well, I guess he has now, with, if you go back to Arkansas, last year didn't make a bowl in this year, but like back to back at the same place, he hasn't gone without a bowl. And while the schedule gets tougher, the Big Ten West provides opportunities. The non-conference with Wyoming basically losing everybody, Virginia losing a bunch of talent despite Brendan Armstrong coming back. Like, there's opportunities to get there. And he's trying to raise the bar, and he's not willing to go with an offensive coordinator doesn't have a ton of confidence in and go 3-9. Because you do that your first 2 years, say you went 3-9, you go 8-16, all of a sudden people are like, is that going to happen? Right? Like, he understands that, and he's got an urgency to get it correct, and he's got a lot of confidence in Barry Lunney to be that guy.
You know, when Brett got hired, I remember, fans were, okay, you don't get recruits and you don't win, but you don't win and you don't get recruits. What stops the cycle, right? What stops the cycle of Illinois coaches going 4-8 and or 5-7, 4-8, 3-9? Shaking it up pretty quick, man. I don't know that it's promised to stop the cycle that has been, but if you're going to shake things up and stop it, making a pretty bold move like this is a good step forward to do that.
It's a big boy move. It's a big boy football move. I think in the past, Illinois might have just been complacent or just, hey, we don't have the money to go, fire an offensive coordinator after just 1 year of a 3-year contract. It's not the way Bielema and Whitman are operating anymore, and I think that's a good thing.
I agree with you, and we talked about it before. Josh's backing goes a long way here, both in terms of standing in Brett's corner and making it happen from a financial standpoint. That's got to happen. And I think we've heard Brett kind of allude to a lot of those things, that he knows he's got Josh in his corner, and Josh is going to do everything he can to kickstart this thing. And will it kickstart it? I don't know, man. But
you're supposed to know. You're supposed to give that, it's definitely going to get better. Oh, this is terrible. No, like, we'll see.
Well, so these things are on the internet forever. So if I say it's definitely going to get better, and in 2 years, if it doesn't, I am a fool.
I am more confident in this hire than I was the original Peterson hire. Like, I think I shared last year, the guys I was really excited about Illinois adding to its staff were the guys with really impressive resumes in their positions. That's Kevin Kane and George McDonald and Ryan Walters. I thought, man, you stole a Power Five coordinator. That's a good thing. And a lot of people spoke well of him. Now, I didn't know if it was definitely going to work like it did, but those are probably the three most impressive hires you made. Then we hear from Bart Miller and you hear from Aaron Henry, like, oh, those are pretty impressive guys. But Peterson was probably my biggest question mark, was like, how is this going to work when he hasn't played, he hasn't coached at this level in a while, hasn't coached with Brett Bielema before? This one makes a lot more sense on paper.
Yeah, and again, I have questions. How's this all going to – the playbook, how's it all going to come together, right? Because Brett has said he didn't want someone to come in and plop down a playbook and say, listen here, this is what this is going to be. He wanted kind of a collaborative effort. He's called it Illinois' offense, Illinois' defense, whatever it is. Does that change, right? We don't know. That those are questions, unfortunately, guys, we can't answer until we talk to them. I'm assuming in this coming week, last I heard, there's no data as to when that's going to be. But has that changed? Does Brett want someone to come in and say, okay, this is what you've done. Let's dance here, right? Like, this is what we want to see. I don't know. I think I could see where it might. And, of course, that's not just Barry putting on headphones in an offensive meeting and saying, nope, I'm not hearing any ideas or conversations. But I don't know. I don't know what that looks like. But I think from what Brett said last year when he hired these guys and what we've seen happen over the course of the last calendar year, I do wonder how much of what he said then has changed to what he maybe envisions now. Maybe it's not as much as I think it could be, or maybe it's more. I don't know, but I'm excited to ask him a lot about some of those details there.
My biggest takeaway is I think there's a jolt of energy to the offense that needs it. It's a jolt of energy in recruiting as well. Like, you have to be able to recruit quarterbacks. You got to be able to recruit playmakers. And I think Illinois was going to struggle to do that under Tony Peterson. Like, I had a wide receiver kind of picture of the position, and my biggest question was, like, how are you going to be able to recruit wide receivers to this position? Now, George did a good job with the preps, but my question was, I think you need a transfer, at least one guy. How do you sell that? And now with Barry Lunny, I think it's a little bit easier of a sell. All right, Joey Wagner, great stuff. As always, at some point we're going to catch up with J.J. Perez, who does a great job covering UTSA for 24/7 Sports. Also reached out to Trey Biddy, who covered Arkansas, where Lunny did a really good job both recruiting and developing tight ends. So we'll talk to those guys at some point as well and get their insight. But, Joey, big news. Early January for Illinois football and what we thought would be a quieter offseason. We get one coaching staff move. Don't know if there will be any other. But it's a big one.
It is a big one. It's significant, and we'll see. I guess another my last point, Jim. I know is your wrap up, and here I still
Joey's got
babble.
Thoughts.
I've got thoughts. I know the quarterback's the hottest conversation, right? And it should be. Remember, a year ago we were watching, like, okay, what kind of quarterbacks is Tony Peterson offering? We're doing it again, man. It's back.
Yeah.
flat circle in time, man. I want to see what kind of offers go out to quarterbacks under Barry Lunny initially and see what that looks like and what that'll tell us about what they're after. And unfortunately, we may not know that for a little bit here. But that's a big thing to watch, I think, in the next month leading up to spring ball is what they're approaching quarterback-wise in future classes.
Great stuff. We'll have more on the new hire, Barry Lunny Jr., the new offense coordinator for Illinois, at IllinoisEnquirer.com. Check it out there. Thanks for listening to the Illini Enquirer podcast. As always, give us a follow, rate us, review us wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, everybody, take care of each other. Have a great day. We'll chat to you next time on the Illini Enquirer podcast.
Hello everyone, it's Michael Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean, outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.